then we get an update on rate regulation. Jay.
Good afternoon, everybody. Just a very quick update on the rate regulated activities projects. We're looking at agenda papers 9 through 9B, and the purpose of the update is really twofold. First of all, to update with some feedback from the World Standard Setters Conference held near the end of September, and the other to inform about discussions which we will be having on Thursday with our consultative group for rate regulation. First of all, at the World Standard Setters, delegates at that conference were asked to participate in a case study that presented some examples of rate adjustments, very similar to examples the board has discussed in the past. And each group was asked the same two questions, which are presented on slide 3 of agenda paper 9A. And those two questions were, do you agree recognising the rate adjustment in profit or loss would more faithfully represent the performance of the entity during the period? And secondly, would the resulting balance sheet item conceptually be an asset or a liability? The slide presentation that I've just referred to in paper 9A was used to provide feedback in a plenary session. I won't go through all of the details, but this will give you an opportunity to raise any questions or comments that you may have. Just before that, very quickly mentioning, during the same week, we also had a discussion with the Accounting Standards Advisory Forum, the ASAF. The purpose of that discussion was really to focus on the measurement paper, which was the same paper that the board discussed in its September meeting. The ASAF members raised similar operational questions about how rate regulation works in practice. And so for those issues and other operational issues that the board has been raising over the last few discussions, we're going to have the discussion with the consultative group on Thursday, and we present the agenda for that meeting as agenda paper 9B, so that you can see the range of topics that we're going to discuss. The main focus of those discussions is really to gather information about operational aspects of rate regulation itself. So with that, I'll open the floor if you've got any comments or questions about either of those matters.
Yes, I'm referring to the slide on page 14 where you have our to-do list, the things that we should look at going forward. And I have a few comments or questions on that one. The first point you say, be clear on why different from similar contracts. And I was wondering what similar in that case was referring to. My next question, in fact, is a comment, is on the third bullet point. I have expressed already a few times that I don't think that the right to charge or the obligation to charge less, I mean, do carry really make it easily for people to understand what we're looking at. And this, in fact, a case study makes me think that even further. And when you say obligation to charge less in opposition to an obligation to deliver a product, not sure that what we're looking at is not really payments received in advance of future deliveries. So at least partially. So I would, I think we still have some work to do in order to find some descriptives which avoid this kind of discussion. And finally, bullet 5, you say be clear on what performance is. I don't think we can be clearer than what has already been done or not yet achieved in the conceptual framework that is about to be finalized, and so I think what is going to be important to explain why we believe this would provide better information in the income statement. But
okay,
I think we're going to really discuss what performance is.
I think with that, what I heard was a question at the beginning and then a couple of observations. And in terms of the question, which is what do we mean by similar, it goes back to the issue that the board has raised a couple of times, and I think it was Martin in particular, trying to compare entities that are operating in a market where they have a very strong and dominant market position, but they don't actually have the regulation that dictates the prices.
And they don't have the contract.
Yeah.
So they don't have a similar contract.
Yeah. Beg your pardon. We did this quite quickly overnight. So similar environment or, yeah, good point. Tech?
Thank you. Thank you for doing the summary report of World Standard Setters Conference. I think the discussion we had in this conference was very good, and it was so candid. And because it's candid, I was struck by the comment written on the slide 7, which says what we are doing is something like reverse engineering. So we have to accept this kind of comment very seriously. For ordinary people, it seems like we are doing reverse engineering because we cannot clearly articulate what's the asset of the rate regulated asset is all about. So therefore, probably what we could do is we should come up with a more clearer scope of this project, because at this moment we haven't discussed the scope yet. So we simply asked whether or not this is an asset or a liability. But by doing so, they cannot differentiate what's the ordinary company's assets and this company's asset. So therefore, maybe what we need to do is we should come up with a clear scope, I think, which should be narrow based on our current discussion. Then it could improve the perception of our constituents.
Thank you. And questions or comments about three different pages in here, Jane, and really just to test understanding. Go to start with page 5. And, this is presumably a summary of the overall feedback sessions. More comfortable with yes, presumably by yes meaning agreeing to recognize and profit loss, but less comfortable. Is it a conceptual asset or liability? So firstly, just a order of magnitude, you're more comfortable, the first bullet could be extremely supportive, and less comfortable means moderately supportive. Can you give any degree of magnitude to the comfort level?
It's hard to be precise, and I'm looking at Daryl because Daryl also corralled some of the...
I think the problem was, this is feedback from four different groups.
Right.
Yeah. Each of the groups, these issues came up to a greater level. So I can talk about the group I was in. And certainly in the group I was in, people felt that the income statement as a measure of current period performance made sense to them.
Yeah. Being the rate adjusted.
There was literally nobody in our group who said they disagreed with the effect on the income statement. The problem was it was then this acknowledgement of what you do with the other side of the journal entry that then became the key discussion. And I think that was, I wouldn't say that was exactly the same what I heard from other people in terms of their groups. But people felt the income statement was intuitively understandable.
Okay, but then, so therefore, instead of conceptually an asset or liability, as a practical matter, as a default matter, it's an asset or liability as opposed to a that's what I was trying to...
So is this the people who... I'm thinking of some of our ASAP members who have spoken in the past, who would say that they would support the P&L approach from a decision usefulness context.
Precisely.
And I think solely because of the decision usefulness, and they are not so fussed about the conceptual asset liability discussion, as in they're less confident it is an asset or liability, but it wouldn't stop them supporting the income statement.
I think essentially what we were hearing is that, and this also comes to the point that Clark raised about the perception that we might be trying to force the asset liability discussion. People were comfortable with the outcome of the income statement, but felt if as a consequence we were going to deviate from the conceptual framework, we should simply say so.
Okay, and I'm okay with that, but still a right to bill more, an obligation to bill less, does feel reasonably conceptually grounded. But
I think maybe, and apologies, I should have mentioned it at the beginning, the case study session was carried out before there were education sessions on the conceptual framework. So some of the conversation was around the old definitions rather than the revised definitions or the way that we're expecting these things to be revised. So there was a little bit of a movement, depending on which framework people were working
but
with.
But there'd still be some even with the new framework, I think.
Some still with the new framework, yeah.
If you go up to page 15, this is an observation as opposed to a comment, when it says, concerns rate complexity, this gets complicated fast. Page 13, I'm sorry. In whose mind does it get complicated fast to? I mean, if you're in the industry, it's our stuff is what's complicated, not the regulatory accounting. So, I mean, and who's it complicated to? Would it also raise the question, this is kind of like deferred taxes, the regulatory asset liability accounting sort of grows on you. You just don't drop it on you and intuitively grab it, you know. So, I mean, granted, the world has had a wide variety of skills, experiences, environments, but what was, you know...
So, Gary, I think the context of that, and again, I can talk to this one because we did discuss quite a bit in our group. The context of this one was the fact that as soon as we started discussing any particular fact set, people started throwing in additional factors that might complicate that.
Sure.
Now, the one comment that was expressed to me, that somebody who was close to the industry, not in the industry, in our group, the point that he was making was that, well, this is information that they already track from a regulatory perspective. But nonetheless, from an outsider and looking in perspective, it did seem like there was going to be a lot of track.
Yeah, and that's why I was trying to get inside the industry, you know, this is not complicated stuff.
I think that's probably an important thing to bear in mind, because it was the world standard setters. This wasn't, in fact, I'm not sure there were any industry experts specifically at the session.
Okay.
We may hear a different message later this week when we talk to the industry experts.
Yeah.
And then last question, I guess, on slide 14, the ISB to-do list. Is this just the wish list of the audience, the prioritization, or things we can work on, or what do you do with this list?
I think these were messages that Daryl and I probably sort of took out of what we heard. So it wasn't really a wish list. I think it was, as Francoise pointed out, it's cautions to us that when, as we're going through this project, we need to be clearer in the messaging that we're doing and the terminology that we're using to describe what we're trying to do.
And I think I'd agree exactly with that. I mean, if anything, the world standard setters, other than industry themselves, people who are closest to this project, they should be aware of the project and what's happening. And what came through in the discussion was a number of areas where they had misconceptions or misunderstandings of the way the discussions had sort of...
Different industry, you know, that you don't naturally run into in your day-to-day life. Thank you.
Nick?
Just a brief follow-up on complexity. I'm sure you've looked at many different situations here. Do you have a sense of how worried we should be about complexity?
I think Gary's touched on it already. In terms of the industry, there is a requirement for a huge amount of bookkeeping around this and tracking of individuals. And again, on Thursday at the consultative group, we'll be asking for more information about the difficulties or the ease with which companies can do that. But my personal feeling, like Gary, this is their bread and butter. They have to do comprehensive reports to the rate regulators. So, you know, the complexity is there. I'm not going to disguise the fact that there's a lot of tracking that he's doing, but they're all used to doing it.
Okay. But also, at our last board meeting, we ourselves had a discussion about complexity, right, when we were starting to talk about what discount rates would be used and things. So I think we do have to be aware of our own complexity that we might introduce.
Indeed.
Yeah, I think in this point, Nick, it's most of the at least the industry already keeps significant level of detailed recording because of the regulatory requirements. So it might, at the end of the day, what we end up with being much less complex in comparison to what they are already required by regulators. So this is a sense, depending on the region.
Okay. All set.
Okay.
Thank you, Jane.
Thank you.